Title: Shaker Push Strategies in Fast Tempos Advanced. Alright, let's get into one of the most underrated weapons in fast drum and bass, Shaker Push. At 170 to 176 BPM, shakers aren't just there to sprinkle high end. They're a timing lever. If you place them slightly ahead of the grid in the right spots, the whole beat starts leaning forward. It feels urgent. It feels like it's pulling you into the next snare. And when it's done right, it doesn't sound messy or rushed. It sounds expensive. In this lesson, you're going to build a tight 1-bar 16th note shaker loop at 174 BPM. You'll add a second ghosty texture layer for width and motion, and you'll set up an Ableton native processing chain that keeps everything punchy, mono safe, and club stable. Then we'll talk about where to push harder in the arrangement and where to relax so the drop actually hits. First, session setup, because micro-timing is only useful if what you're hearing is reliable. Set your project tempo to 174 BPM. Go into Preferences, Record, Warp, Launch, and turn on Reduced Latency when monitoring. You're not doing this because you're recording a symphony. You're doing it because if the system feels sluggish, you'll compensate with bad timing decisions. Turn on the metronome, and if you plan to record anything in, set Countin to 1 bar. And one more practical thing, in the MIDI editor, set your grid to 16th notes for writing, but be ready to zoom in and temporarily ignore the grid when you start nudging. At this tempo, the difference between tight push and hoops is tiny. Now step 1. Choose the right shaker source. Make a new MIDI track, load a drum rack, and drop a shaker one shot onto a pad. Think short and bright. Egg shaker, tight metal shaker, anything with a fast transient and a controlled tail. Avoid long washy shaker loops for now. At 174, long tails blur your microtiming. You'll move notes around and nothing will feel different, because the envelope is basically hiding your timing. Click into Simpler on that pad and do quick prep. Put it in one-shot mode. Warp off. Snap on. If you hear clicks, add a tiny fade out, like 2 to 10 milliseconds. And if the sample rings out too long, shorten the decay in the amp envelope. The goal is a clear tick, not TNSSSSH. Here's a coaching note that matters a lot. At high tempos, push is mostly an envelope problem, not a timing problem. If the transient isn't obvious, you'll keep pushing earlier and earlier trying to feel it. Then you end up at minus 20 milliseconds wondering why it sounds like the drummer is falling down the stairs. So tighten the sound first. Step 2. Program the bassline. Create a 1-bar MIDI clip. Put a shaker hit on every 16th note. 16 hits in 1 bar. Keep note lengths short and consistent. This matters more than people think, because sloppy overlaps can create inconsistent triggering behavior depending on the drum rack voice settings, and then your micro edits won't feel repeatable. Now add an accent pattern so the loop has a readable reference. Drum and bass likes consistency, but it also needs just enough contour so your ear can lock onto the pattern. Try accents on beat 1, the 1, the end of 2, beat 3, and the end of 4. That's just a starting map. The point is, you're creating an anchor. Velocity ranges that usually work: accents around 95 to 110, non-accents around 60 to 85, optional ghosts around 35 to 55, but be careful. In DNB, too many ghosts can turn into a hissy blur fast. And another pro move, don't let accents only be volume. If you want it to feel more human and more moving, map velocity to timbre. In Simpler, enable the filter and map velocity to filter frequency, so louder hits are also a bit brighter. Now your accent pattern translates into motion, not just loudness. Okay, step 3. Create the push. This is the core technique. We're going to micro-advance selected hits, not everything. At 174 BPM, 1/16th note is about 86 milliseconds. So if you push a hit 8 to 12 milliseconds early, that's roughly 10% of a 16th. It's enough to feel urgency without sounding misplayed. Start with minus 6 to minus 12 milliseconds. And as a rule, try not to exceed minus 15 unless you're intentionally going for a manic, old-school jungle edge. If you need more than that to feel it, it's probably the sample envelope masking the timing, not that the groove needs more push. Which hits should you push? Two safe starting approaches. 1. Push the off 16ths, meaning the E and A positions, slightly earlier. 2. And this is the money one for rolling DNB. Push the 16th right before beat 2 and beat 4. That pre-snare pickup is where the rush lives. How to do it in Ableton. Method is manual nudging. In the MIDI clip, select the notes you want to push, then hold Alt or Option and drag them slightly left to go off grid. Zoom in until you can actually see what you're doing. Don't guess at this zoom level, you want confidence. Method beat is using groove pool, drop in a groove like MPC 16 swing or Logic 16 swing as a starting point. Apply it to your shaker clip with timing around 10 to 25, random around 2 to 8, velocity around 5 to 15. But understand this clearly, swing isn't exactly push. Swing can simulate a kind of forward lean on certain subdivisions, but for that pre-snare tug, manual nudges still win. Use groove for vibe, then fine-tune manually. Now step 4. Make it sit with kick and snare, because push only matters in context. Add a simple drum reference. Put a kick on beats 1 and 3, and a snare on beats 2 and 4. Classic. Listen to how the shaker interacts with the snare. If you push too hard, it won't feel like it's pulling you into the snare. It'll feel like it's tripping into the snare, almost like a flam or a stutter in the wrong place. Here's a really reliable fix strategy. Keep your shaker hit that lands exactly on beat 2 and 4 either perfectly on grid, or even a hair late, like plus 1 to plus 3 milliseconds. That tiny lateness helps avoid a flam with the snare top end, and creates a suction then impact sensation. Then push the 16th right before 2 and 4, the of 1 and the of 3, by about minus 8 to minus 12 milliseconds. That combination is the roller formula. Table snare moments, aggressive pickups. And one more coaching concept. Pick a timing anchor note and treat it as sacred. Usually that's the downbeat on 1, and the moments on 2 and 4. When those don't move, your ear believes the loop. Then the early hits read as intentional style, not rushing. Step 5. Add a second layer for width and motion, but keep the core mono safe. Create a second MIDI track or a second pad in the same drum rack. Choose a different shaker sample, maybe duller, noisier, or more metallic. The main shaker is your center punch. The second layer is your atmosphere and movement. Program the second layer sparser. Try eighth notes or only offbeats on the end positions, or occasional quiet 16th ghosts. The key is, don't let layer 2 compete with layer 1's timing message. It should support, not argue. Now processing, we're going to do two different chains, one for the main shaker, one for the wide texture layer. For the main shaker, the push driver chain, start with EQ8, high pass around 250 to 450 HC. Shakers don't need body, they need clarity. If it's harsh, do a small dip around 7 to 9 KHZ, just a little. Don't kill the air, just remove the pain. Then drum bus, drive around 2 to 6, French from 0 to 10, very subtle. Use damp to tame fizzy top end if needed. Then transient control. If you have live 12, use transient shaper. Attack plus 10 to plus 25. Sustain minus 5 to minus 20. If you're not on live 12, you can still get a similar effect by using drum bus transients carefully, or by shortening the sample decay further. The goal is simple. Clear tick, shorter tail. When the front edge is obvious, your micro timing reads as push immediately. Then utility. Keep width narrow, like 0 to 30%. This is important. A wide main shaker can detach from the groove and get facey in mono. Trim the gain so it doesn't dominate. Shakers are deceptive. They can feel quiet until you turn the mix down and realize they're the loudest thing. For the secondary shaker, width and air chain, EQ 8 first. High pass higher, around 500 to 800 HZ. This layer should be mostly top. Then auto pan, amount around 15 to 35%. Rate at 1/8 or 1/16. Set phase to 180 degrees so it actually moves left-right. Then hybrid reverb, small and dark. Decay around 0.3 to 0.7 seconds. Pre-delay around 10 to 25 milliseconds so the transient stays clean. High cut around 6 to 9 KHZ. You want space, not splash. Then utility. Width around 120 to 160%, but only on this layer. If you're paranoid about low junk, turn bass mono on. Quick translation tip. Check mono. Put utility on the master temporarily and hit mono. If the groove collapses or the shaker disappears, reduce width, simplify layers, or push more energy back into the center shaker. Step 6. Arrangement moves. This is where the technique becomes musical. In intros and breaks, use less push or none. Lower velocities, more space. Sometimes use only the wide texture layer so it feels atmospheric and not overly urgent. In the drop, bring in the main pushed 16ths. And here's the trick. Increase accent contrast more than overall volume. That reads as energy without wrecking your mix headroom. For a mid-drop variation, like bar 9 or bar 17, do a 1-bar hype move. Push the pre-snare pickup an extra 2 to 4 milliseconds early for just that bar. And you can do a tiny velocity ramp across that bar, like 70 up to 95. It's subtle, but listeners feel development. And for builds, increase density, not loudness. Go from eighths to Edingost 16ths to full pushed 16ths at impact. You can also gradually tighten decay and slightly increase transient attack over several bars. It will feel like it's accelerating even though the BPM never changes. Now step 7. Groove cohesion, masking, and sidechain. If your shakers smear into the snare top, add compressor on the shaker track and sidechain it from the snare. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release 40 to 90 milliseconds. Aim for just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on snare hits. This creates a tiny snare spotlight while the shaker energy stays continuous. If shakers fight rides or cymbals, don't just turn shakers down. Find the conflict zone. Often it's that 8 to 12 kHz sandpaper band. Use EQ8 to notch a resonant peak, or slightly shelf down the harsh area. A cleaner top end reads faster and tighter. Advanced variation ideas. If you want to level this up, try a two-lane push. Keep the main 16ths mostly stable and create a second lane that only plays select pickups, like the 16th before the snare, and maybe an occasional pre-kick. Push those pickups more aggressively than the main lane. That gives you rush without turning the whole pattern into a constant sprint. Or do alternating push per bar. Make a two-bar phrase. In bar 2, push only the pickups slightly more, like an extra 2 to 4 milliseconds early, and maybe slightly stronger accents. The listener hears evolution, but the loop still feels clean. You can also add probability-based ghosting. Drop in very quiet 30-second ghosts with a 10 to 25% chance, but keep their timing locked. Don't randomize timing and probability at the same time. That's how you get chaos instead of controlled life. And if you want a jungle hint without going full shuffle, add one triplet field pickup occasionally. A single note at a 16th triplet right before the snare, very low velocity, and pushed slightly. It's like a wink to the breakbeat gods, without derailing your grid. Before we wrap, common mistakes to avoid. Don't push everything equally. If every hit is early, the groove just sounds rushed and unstable. Push selected hits. Don't overuse random timing. This audio version is shortened for playback.